At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ladies, gentlemen, and bees, this is the Eat, Sleep, Elite, Repeat podcast. I haven't said the repeat in a while, so fuck. I was supposed to drop that about 70 episodes ago. All right. Anyway, this is ESE podcast, your weekly AEW review and breakdown. I am the Digital Duke, also known as the Digital Phantom, also known as the Neon Hammer. What is going on, Charlie? The Shai-Hulud himself, the goddamn right himself. Walter White of the fucking East.
Neon Hammer makes me picture like some fucking East audio bike going.
Charlie, we had some fun wrestling, especially on Dynamite this week. I think we're going to focus pretty heavily on Dynamite here at the beginning. Was there anything that like surprised you this week that like you were like, wow, that was really good and I wasn't expecting it to be? Or like you just were like, wow, you sat down to watch wrestling this week and you're like, okay, I'm not like super excited about this, but then it got you there in the end. Cause I always wonder.
Tell you what, a 4-match Dynamite on paper, I would have been like, really? But every match got its time. It got its due diligence. And I think again, this is very important. I think we got back to back 10 out of 10 Dynamites. And I think that's important going forward. You know, AEW's trying to, you know, get this, the whole TV deal that you always hear about. And you got to be putting on really good quality.
It's starting to feel less urgent the less we hear about it, because it feels like they're almost just like putting it off, you know, like because they want to give AEW the most time to look as good as possible, you know, like
it's like, you know, sometimes we're watching House of the Dragon and sometimes we're watching Secret Invasion. And I thought this Dynamite today, we had a House of the Dragon. So
I think Collision might have been a Secret Invasion spinoff, though.
Yeah, the taped Rampage and Collision this week were a little rough, but luckily enough, we have so much good stuff in Dynamite.
I'll give Collision this. It was Book of Boba Fett. It wasn't Secret Invasion.
Yeah, it wasn't Secret Invasion. Rampage.
But not the Mandalorian episode. Sorry.
The episode where he's tripping out off Tusken weed.
100%. I'd try some Tusken weed. Anyway, you tell me you wouldn't try some? No, you wouldn't try Tusken weed. Fucking pussy. Anyway. You'd try some Tuscan pussy. Anyway, you would. I know you would, you fucking fiend. Actually, you know what? I believe that Tuscans actually don't look that weird into the masks. That's what I believe. But
we got a fucking insane show next week, too, by the way. Insane Dynamite 250.
Yeah, that's going to be nuts. So, I'm surprised that they're starting to do these named Dynamites a little bit more, like, or these numbered Dynamites a little bit more. They always have, but 250 feels a little, you know.
He cares about his 50s and his 100s, so.
Hey, man, it makes it feel like we're celebrating something all the time. So, you know, as long as that doesn't start to wear thin, I think, I will say it does feel like Tony Khan does still feel like he's in the party stage of the beginning of the honeymoon phase of this promotion a little bit. Like, he does need to start, like, you know, recognize. And I'm not saying we can't still be celebratory, but, you know, sometimes it can feel a little bit like he's celebrating everything all the time, you know? And I get why, because everything is a victory in this. I mean, nothing that he does is easy, you know what I mean? But.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess with that being said, let's go ahead and get into the orders of business. Whatever podcast platform you're happy to be listening to this on, be that Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Actually, I was curious, are you uploading these to YouTube as well, or just the movie reviews? They're Charlie. All right, well, we'll get back to him on that. But anyway, whatever podcast platform you happy to be listening to this on, make sure you follow and subscribe. Make sure also leave comments, 5-star frog flash reviews, follow us on Twitter. I'm at Bane Duke, that's BaneDuke, at O'Charlie with an X instead of an A. And do you have an answer on that?
What was the question?
Do we upload these to YouTube as well, or just the movie pods?
No.
Okay, just curious. So make sure you check out the Soaky Entertainment YouTube channel to check out those if you want to check out our House of the Dragon review from this week, or the Acolyte. We didn't do one last week, but we did mention it briefly in our Boys review, and as well in our House of the Dragon review briefly as well at the end. So if you're curious what we did, we have thoughts on that, or if our thoughts on House of the Dragon, or our thoughts on The Acolyte. Well, we have a finale coming up tomorrow, so if you want to catch up on that, binge those episodes.
I'm so fucking excited.
The only episode we did not review, like I said, was 7, because it was filler, let's be honest. it was filler flashback, and that's always a bad idea, you know?
It's our show. We make the rules. Actually,
okay, let me be clear. It wasn't filler. It wasn't filler, obviously. It was a fucking full episode, but it was, it felt like filler because we'd already seen all of it. So, you know, like, it felt like.
If Hacklow was the only show we cover, 100% we would have done an episode. We do four podcasts right now.
It's a little chaotic. There was a week where we had to do all four podcasts and also the fucking, and also do the pay-per-view review. And that was a nightmare. So, let me tell you, and I think I had to work that week too, I want to say, on Sunday. Oh, yeah. It was brutal. I somehow managed to make it through that week. I don't know. But either way, that being said, we also have the boys review on Friday. That should be the finale of that as well. And then we will be, I believe, I think 3 episodes away from the end of House of the Dragon for this season. Breaking Bad is. Like so a lot of people that watch Breaking Bad will be like, this is the greatest show ever. But they will also watch the second and third seasons and be like, wow, I'm so bored. They're not doing anything. And it's not that that's what's really happening. It's just a lot more character depth building and relationship stuff. And it's not as much action and MacGyvering, you know what I mean? So, but that's really the heart and soul of the show. A lot of people don't realize that while they're watching it. And then it's because you get those quiet moments with the characters earlier on in the seasons that by the time the character is so far removed from that, it has become like a kingpin, you know what I mean? That you can kind of be like, wow, how far removed are we? Just a couple seasons ago, this person was still trying to be a good person and a normal person to an extent, you know? And now they're just completely depraved and all they care about is revenge, you know what I mean? So yeah. It's like, you know, it's, I'm so interested in that kind of storytelling, you know, because it just, I don't know, it fascinates me. But I guess let's get into the actual show here, Charlie. Yeah. We got you up on favorites first this week, my guy. And like I said, we're going to be sticking around Dynamite. Dynamite was, it was the end of the 0-1 this week. Of course, you expect there to be some high-quality matches, but you just never know what the rest of the show is going to do around. That's a lot of pressure to live up to with the rest of it going on, so let's see how they did.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about Mariah May and Willow Nightingale as my favorite first. And as always, the favorite doesn't have to just be the match. It can be what happened after, which plays a big part of this. I thought for the match itself, it was pretty solid. It wasn't anything like unbelievably spectacular. Wasn't Mariah May's best match, and it wasn't Willow Nightingale's.
That's the way I would put it. We've seen Mariah have better matches with other people, and I'm not saying that she couldn't have done that with Willow, but she just didn't here, and I don't think they were supposed to. I think they were intended to have a very good match that was supposed to match the quality of the women's division, but not exceed anything crazy, because I think they want that match to be the match that she has for the championship, where they finally fully unleash Mariah, you know?
They went out there, they had a face versus face, and it was just a good match. That's all it had to be, and that's all it was. I thought, God, I love Willow as a face, and I love Mariah as a face. However, now we know going forward, things are going to change a little bit. Willow Nightingale was rocking some black and yellow caution gear as a tribute to Owen Hart, which is really cool. Nigel McGuinness was on commentary for this Dynamite, and if anyone was still questioning, is this guy the GOAT? I hope this your question was answered. He is the best commentator in wrestling. Right now, bar none, across the board. Maybe there's Japanese commentators that are better. Or maybe there's Mexican commentators that are better. But I don't speak those languages, so...
Not Angelico better.
I don't know. I don't speak Spanish or Japanese. But, yeah, the match itself was perfectly fine.
You speak Japanese.
I do. There was a really nice Death Valley driver from Willow, and May ended up spinning out of it into a victory roll for the win. Post-match, Mariah May shakes Willow's hand, jumps into the arms of Toni Storm. They skip up the ramp to the Owen Hart Cup title. Mariah May grabs it and fucking cracks Toni Storm over the head with the gold. The crowd is stunned. Luther gets laid out, put through a table. There's a bloody Toni Storm. Mariah May ends up picking up the shoe. Oh my God. The storytelling here. It's so goofy, but it's true. Toni Storm had to watch for the shoe. She's always been saying, watch for the shoe. Mariah May grabs the shoe, beats the fuck out of Toni Storm with this shoe. Hey, those were vicious. Those were insane fucking hits. And Toni Storm is a bloody fucking corpse. And she's not even fighting back.
Yo, you know what it reminded me of? Who is the chick in NXT? Or was it the main roster? Who they had like a door gimmick on the set in the ring. And like they shoved their head into the door. And it like actually fucking smashed her fucking head. Who the fuck was that?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. It was NXT 2.0 as well. I can't picture
the name. One of the only good things to ever come out of 2.0.
Yeah, no. It was really
like
well
made
done.
A chick's career straight up. Like
it might have been Gigi taking the bump.
Yeah, I think so. I forget. It was somebody who was repackaging themselves at the
time. JC Jean, maybe someone hitting her. Either way, they fucking.
It wasn't meant to be like that, but
they cold cocked the shit out of her and it fucking
looked like that shit hurt, though.
And Mariah May ends up kissing the bloody head of Toni Storm. She shoves Aubrey Edwards down and Dynamite ends again.
Because I talk about this every time it happens. We've seen Aubrey shoved like a handful of times since this company, since we started watching this company and reviewing it. And this is like only like a fourth or fifth time. It's always a big deal whenever you fuck with Aubrey. Like, she's, it seemed like,
you want to get healed quick. That's one way. And this was a 10 out of 10 closing segment. You always want your chapter of your book, right, to end on a cliffhanger. You want your episode to end on a cliffhanger, getting you excited for the next. And I got to tell you, this made me so excited for the next Dynamite. This got me more excited for All In. Duke, what'd you think of the match and what'd you think of this angle?
Yeah, I think Willow is really, really talented in the ring. So I think if you even don't give her like a ton of time, she's still going to make herself stand out. And what I think I really love about Willow is that she will play when she's wrestling just like a random person for like a win in a tournament, or not even for a tournament, just like for like a random win on a Dynamite. She'll just wrestle and like pummel him and beat him up and bully him a little bit. Not really bully, but just like kind of use her size to her advantage. And then you put her in with somebody like Mariah, who can actually, you know, sneak a quick sneaky victory with a pinfall, or can wrap you up in a submission really quickly, or can, you know, hit some like crazy offense that, you know, like some like Japanese wrestler from like 20 years ago would have hit or something, you know, like, or something, or just an elbow that's going to hurt, you know? So, you put her against someone like that, and all of a sudden she starts like running and hitting full speed and bouncing off the ropes and bumping around like crazy, which she doesn't do for everybody else. So anyway, you hear the cat? Anyway.
Came through loud and clear, podcat.
Hey there, Pod Giddy. Anyway, I forget what I was saying now.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know. It's a fucking cat episode. But anyway, I forget what I was saying now. But yeah, Mariah May obviously brings that out of Willow. And so I think you got at least a little bit of what you can see from Willow here. Obviously, Willow won this tournament last year, so her being in the finals again is a pretty big deal. And like I said, I think the match quality got there, and I think the story that they told with the heel turn. I mean, I asked you this because of how shocked I was right after it happened, because you'd sent me this like past Monday, Wednesday, you'd sent me like, hey, I think you need to watch this as soon as you get home, because this is kind of you don't want to get this spoiled for you kind of deal. You didn't say that, but like you implied that to me, you know, like you don't want to get this one spoiled. Just watch
Don't want to get.
And as you were sending me that, I had just turned Dynamite on because I was already so hyped for the show. So the 2-0 and Hart finals, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to throw this on when I get home. I don't care if I'm having a bad day. This will make my day better. And it did make my day better. And we'll talk about why in a second, because this was also very good. And I was hoping, but I didn't expect this. This was shocking to me. I'm going to ask you. Unfortunately, we already have another poll decided for this week where I would make this the poll. But
no, let's do it. Let's make this the poll.
Okay, we can fuck it. Do you think this was the best heel turn in AEW's history? Because I think it's pretty up. I think it's pretty up there, and I think, in my opinion, because I usually give my answer when I say this, so that people know where we're at, and you can give yours as well. I think this was. I think this. If Adam Cole had not been hamstrung in the way that he was by injuries, that his heel turn would have worked better. Maybe we would have to see how it would have played out. I can't definitively say that, right? With what we have now, I think this is probably, if not the best, it's got to be close to Jack Perry. You know what I mean? Like, because Jack Perry's turn was phenomenal. You know what I mean? Like, I think, I didn't think it worked at first, but I think the turn itself worked really well. You know what I mean? And I think especially because you got to work it out in Japan too. But I think, again, it's hard to say because a lot of these turns, like, are they good? Are they bad? They're not really anything. It's what they do with them after that really matters. This is a thing, I think, where we could talk about the moment and what we built up to it because of how long we've been building up to this moment over months and months.
That's what's making this so special is how long they built up for it.
Yes, 100%. The last time I can remember a turn like this hitting me this hard was when Dean turned on Seth.
Oh, man.
Again, it didn't go anywhere good, but the turn at the time, after Seth had just redeemed himself for years of being the most dastardly heel in the company, you know?
Yep.
I mean,
I'm thinking about this right now, and I'm leaning towards yes, and I think the violence, look, we all know this. I'm a really good mark for violence. Now, I always will be.
Oh, another comp? I sent this to you.
The way it is.
When Tommaso turned on Johnny in NXT.
It was that level to me of good. And this was the main event. This was a fucking angle that I got to tell you, I think now we're going into this All In match much more excited than if it was, you know, Prodigy versus, you know, Master versus Apprentice.
Well, I think there would be still excitement because we would be wondering, will this happen? Will this or will this not happen? However, that would have colored how we looked at the match. Now going
now
in,
another layer.
Now we have the layer of, well, is Toni Storm going to be able to retain against this person? Is she going to be able to stop the monster she helped to create? You know what I mean?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes.
I agree.
Right now.
100%. I wonder what the poll will say. They may not agree with this. They may be like, no, I like Mariah as a babyface. Why would you
turn
her heel?
Well, there were some pretty iconic turns, but I think this – a lot of people are going to point to MJF's, but again,
turn. That's why I say heel turn as opposed to just turn.
I'm talking like his initial heel turn on Cody. One is like
– I guess I already knew he was a heel, so I was expecting that even though
I think that element – but this had the shock element.
And I was watching AEW then, to be clear, but I've gone back and looked at that, and at the time I would have pegged it as they were setting it up. Like, it's just the way my brain works. You're like, you can't say that. You don't know. I fucking know. MJF is too good as a heel. He was a heel in fucking MLW for fucking 20 million years. He was their guy. They weren't going to waste that. They were going to at least get something out of it. So
yeah, I'm with you. I'm saying yes. I think I liked it more than Jungle Boys. I liked it more than Christians. I liked it more than a lot of heel turns. And I think it was perfectly executed. That's the thing. I think this was perfectly executed.
You know what? The only one that might actually have worked better, and this is just saying because it's so working so well right now still, is Hangman's. But then even then, I feel like Hangman's was a similar thing. It was a buildup of months and months and months of battling and back and forth with Swerve and people turning on him. And so it's, again, it's like I would almost say that they're like 1A and 1B. One for the men, one for the women's. And if one had to edge it out for me, I think Toni actually got – or sorry, well, Toni was the part of it. But I think Mariah actually got it. I think she actually passed one over there because I think there's more layers here than there was with Hangman. Yeah, there was a lot of nuance with Hangman. But you had to write some of that in yourself. This was told to you on the screen completely. Every minute of this story we saw pretty much. So – I mean, how many stories in wrestling that pay off in a meaningfully good way can you actually pinpoint every little – you can literally say every moment they were on screen together had a point and a purpose. And I bet if you went back and looked at all the promos that they did in the backstage right now, there are probably a million little hints as to what was going to happen, you know?
Yep. Exactly. And it was – I'm with you. The vibes were immaculate. Immaculate.
Hey, listen, I really enjoyed this. Something else I really enjoyed too. Let's get into it because we're sticking with the Owen here for a bit, and it's been a little bit of a time. Sorry, my phone got a text about fucking mail-in ballots for somebody who's not me. So apparently I'm illegally voting. But anyway,
shit.
But I'm gonna have to use those fucking what the fuck were the voter machines a couple of years ago. Anyway, I'm gonna have to use one of those machines so they can miscount my vote. Yeah, let's talk about this. Honestly, like, it's been a long time coming in AEW. And that is not to say that we have not had Bryan Danielson title matches before. We've had plenty, actually. We've had, like, I think three, I want to say, for the world title. I could be wrong about that, but I think he technically faced Kenny in an Eliminator in that one match, but it wasn't called that because if it had, then he would have had to get a title match. You know what I mean? Because they went to a time limit. So they said, oh, special time limit for this one because we don't know what Eliminators are yet. So anyway, but also that was like the one match everyone would have been like, well, if you could give 60 minutes to anybody, you give it to Brian and Kenny. But anyway, but then obviously he faced Hangman. He faced MJF as well. I believe this would be the fourth title match for Brian and for the world title. I could be wrong about that. I might have missed one, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Anyway, so Hangman Page took on, or I should say Hangman Adam Page took on Bryan Danielson for the fourth time, I believe, in the Owen Hart Cup Finals, this one to go to Wembley. And we started off exactly how you expect with these guys. They hit a little bit of offense. They were testing the waters out pretty early. We had Bret slash Owen Hart colored gear for Bryan Danielson here. And I believe Hangman still had his little heart, like, tights on. They had like little hearts on him that were like fiery, you know, like or something like that, possibly. But one of the first things I noticed in this match, Charlotte, was every time Hangman would hit a bit of offense, he's staring daggers through your soul, man. He's just looking through you.
Yeah, he is.
And I gotta shout out Hangman for that, because that man is Swerve Strickland took that man's joy away from his life. It is just gone. But you know, these are battered bodies we leave in our wake as we ascend to glory, you know. But, you know, Brian wore Crimson Mask for a good majority of this match. And I thought that really worked out for what they were going for here, because Adam was kind of doing like a methodical bringer of pain slowly. Like, he was just slowly kind of bringing the pain methodically. You know what I mean? Like, which is, you know, I think we started to see a brief amount of this right before Hangman, this, you know, I think he got hurt, right? He was gone for a bit. Or just they wrote him off TV. I think he got injured in storyline, I want to say. I think they, like, wrote him off because of some big thing they did in a match. Was he wrote out in Anarchy, maybe? Am I tweaking? No, he wasn't in that. I don't remember where they wrote him off at. Probably just post-Swerve, right? Anyway, he's been gone for a little while. And the point is, like,
He got suspended for attacking a ref.
That's right. That's right. He attacks a ref, and then the Young Bucks suspend him because they were starting to do their game.
They just got
that's one of their first moves, and they're like, he's indefinitely suspended. But, yeah. So we had a nice little double KO spot that I liked. The hammer and anvil elbows in the corners for the chance. They're using turnbuckles as weapons. We got a diving springboard we haven't seen Brian hit since, like, 1973, you know, like. So, you know, he's fucking, you know, we had Pile Driver Paradise breaking out, you know, Brian was selling like he's half dead.
Nothing wrong with some Pile Driver Paradise there, hey, buddy.
That's where I like to spend my fucking weekend anyway. Especially if I'm getting delivered it to me by fucking Mariah May. Anyway, she's just going to teach me how to do a pile driver while we're in, like, you know, I don't know. Where's a paradise? Like, fucking Bahamas. You imagine spending the Bahamas. Yeah, I wouldn't even, you know what? Nothing sexual intended, nothing lewd intended. I would literally just let her teach me how to do a pile driver in the Bahamas. If we were just chilling, just like, yeah, I'm on vacation and you're also here. Fuck it. You want to learn how to do a pile driver? I'd be like, yeah, actually I do. In fact, teach me how to do a Storm Zero. Fuck it. You know what I mean? You know, fuck it. She probably teach me how to do it well. I feel like she knows how to wrestle. She seems pretty good. I like the spot of ripping off the kinesio tape. I honestly, again, there's so many little things. Like, I'm sure this has been done before. I feel like I just haven't seen this much in AEW, so it worked. You know what I mean? Like,
it really worked.
Taylor got Paul murdered. And we got whips with the bell. Jeff Jarrett got shoved down. He revealed that he had a hidden ref shirt on, which for anyone that ever fucking remembers anything from fucking TNA knows the fucking goddamn hilarity there, you know? It's like, of course fucking he has a hidden ref shirt. But if you think about it, I was thinking about this while watching the match. If you're Tony Khan, and you want this match to not be cheese for the Elite, yeah, you would make him the special guest ref if shit hits the fan. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's solely a Tony Khan move. You know what I mean? In storyline. And even if he didn't approve it, yeah, of course he'd be okay with it. And because, you know, Jeff Jarrett's Jeff Jarrett. Anyway, and Jeff Jarrett does what the fuck he wants. But anyway, I liked the crossface, gimmick of the crossface with the belt along the neck. I actually thought for a second Brian was going to lose it there. You know what I mean? Because that's the kind of spot where you could sell Brian losing and he doesn't lose that much from it because he's got a belt around his neck and he's getting choked, you know? But they didn't go with that. Brian ends up hitting I believe, if I remember correctly, he hits the Busaiko knee, I believe, on Adam here. And then that sets up. I think he doesn't tap him, right? He does actually get the pinfall here, right?
Correct.
Yes, I thought so. I just wanted to make sure because I didn't actually write it down. He's sometimes I don't write it down, face, I don't remember. So.
And then he ended up rolling him up. After
I got it. Yeah, I do remember that, actually. Yes, he kicks out of the finish, and that was probably a few minutes before, I'm guessing. And then they did some setup, and then do we need Brian to keep winning these, like, I'm gonna get a quick pin victory? Should he get some, like, clean wins? And it's not unclean, but, like, clean.
No,
like,
yeah, no,
laid
it's
out
just,
clean.
It's just selling more and more the importance.
You know,
of,
if he wins the title, he'll pin Swerve clean, so I can't complain.
100%,
you know what I mean?
Yep. Doesn't matter how you get there.
So, which I don't. As much as I hate to say it, think is happening at this point, but, you know, it just doesn't feel like it is, but maybe it will, you know. Not that I'm saying this Swerve needs to lose. I mean, he's only been champion for a handful of months now, so he doesn't need to lose it, but be cool if Bryan Danielson won the championship, though.
It really would be. It would be damn cool.
But, yeah, so then we had our Martha Hart presentation of the cup to the new champion. I guess you are technically a champion for winning this cup, but... You know, you don't, like, defend the title. So, whatever. That being said, did you have any thoughts you wanted to throw in about this match? I thought Hangman was fucking phenomenal as a heel, and Bryan Danielson was the greatest of all time, like he always is.
Yeah, I mean, is there a better way to start your night off of wrestling with this? I thought it was really fun.
Literally the only better way was when they started with Kenny versus Bryan, quite literally.
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed this match, and I think he did a pretty good job covering it. They gave it a shitload of time, like 25 minutes, so... Again, we love our AEW Dynamite when it's wrestling-centric, and you can have all the other stuff in between, but having four quality matches like they did this show, and I do believe it was four quality matches. So, all right, let's get into some news here, huh? We got a little bit of contract mania. Last time we met, we were talking about Forbidden Door on this show. Stephanie Vaquer, since Forbidden Door, has left. CMLL has left.
Damn, I really wanted to see her face, Athena. Oh, well.
And now she signs with WWE. She's already wrestled in WWE. They got her off the fucking, I don't know, fast. So,
hey, going back to the Mariah May Piledriver thing, I actually feel like she probably does teach wrestlers how to wrestle in the back that don't know how to do shit. Like, if they need to know how to do something, I feel like Mariah May is the female version of, like, oh, yeah, I know how to do that. You just do this. Boom.
Probably.
To be honest, though, I honestly don't think that happens in wrestling as much as I would like to think it does. I feel like they already have their move sets, and if you know how to do it, great. If you don't, then we'll figure something out, you know? Like,
yeah. And, so. CJ Perry is no longer with AEW.
Wait, what?
So, Indiana.
How sad is that? She used to be one of the better women's wrestlers on the roster back when there was nobody. You know, like.
I do think if AEW brought her in, I would be down for her role more backstage than.
Do you think it would be cool to bring her in and almost do like a pseudo what they've been trying to do with Serena Deeb, but like, because she's more established?
I thought it would be really good.
In maybe Bret Hart for a couple matches just to be like, hey, this is, you know, I know you guys know her, but I'm supporting her while she's here because I like AEW, you know? And like, maybe that's how you do it. Maybe next year, Women's Owen Hart Cup, if you're going to bring her in at all, even though she just re-signed, but,
yeah,
you know.
She's probably locked up now for good.
Probably. Yeah, she's probably going to retire, but if you could have somehow pulled that off, that could have been interesting. Have her win the Hart Cup, you know what I mean? And then you could have Bret Hart involved, and maybe he doesn't approve or something. I always wonder about playing with storylines like that. Like, just because somebody's got a friendship or a relationship with the Hart, doesn't mean the family would immediately want you to be the fucking one to win. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean that they would even like you. There could be history there. You could play with stuff. Now, is that
speaking of right? Hart, I saw Bret Hart surprise Dax at his birthday.
So, oh, that's pretty nice.
It's got to be so cool for Dax, man.
What a guy. Yeah. What a fucking... Man, I'm so excited to talk about them later.
Nice to see those guys back for sure. There's a new Indiana venue being built. And at this venue, AEW is hosting one of the first shows there. So, I thought that was kind of neat. It's a new thing.
I wonder how that works. Is it easier to get into a newer venue like that or harder? Like, probably.
Oh, I gotta imagine it's A, easier, and B, there's gonna be a lot of promotion for it. So that'll probably be a big show.
Do you think first shows at stadiums like that when they debut, do you think that they do better? Or do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious because, like, I know that's how it works for wrestling towns a lot of times.
They're gonna be running a lot of, like, promotions. You're gonna get a lot more casual fans in that maybe have never seen AEW.
Hey, pretty cool.
So those kind of shows you want to do like big numbers at. Trent Barretta is out of action with injury.
Hey, that guy has no luck in his life whatsoever. Zero. Bro's gimmick couldn't get over, and now that it's finally starting to kind of like sort of settle in a little bit as like acceptable.
Yeah, so this is not looking good for him. Battle of Belt 11.
You know what's funny? I like Trent. He's good in the ring. He doesn't always explode, but he's... You know what his problem is, man? He gets no reaction from the crowd, really.
None. I blame that theme song, which we're about to talk about in a second. 2 weeks from now, Saturday, July 27th, following Collision, AEW Battle of the Belts 11.
Isn't that the same week as fucking Death Before Dishonor?
Yep, in the same venue.
Okay, so they're going to shoot that after Death Before Dishonor?
Well, it's at that esports stadium, so.
They probably will just tape it before or something then. I don't even
know. No, it'll be live. It'll be live.
Oh, it's going to be the next day. I'm tweaking. You're right.
Yeah, Saturday. So, that's that.
It's going to be a small show for Battle for the Belts. Usually they have, regular TV is. It's going to be like 2K for fucking Ring of Honor, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Imagine they have a bigger setup for the fucking gimmick TV show that happens on a Saturday as opposed to the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. That would be very telling about where Ring of Honor is right now, you know? I wouldn't be surprised if the setup was bigger the next day, too. It probably won't be just the same face, but I bet I... would not be surprised if Battle of the Belts could draw more than Ring of Honor. I'm not even going to lie, you know? This sounds crazy, but it might actually be true because it's a regular... It's basically just like an extra hour of Dynamite, you know? Or something like that, you know what I mean? Like, or whatever. Yeah.
So, it looks like Sting wanted to betray... Ric Flair wanted to betray Sting one final time before Sting ended his in-ring career. He had a pitch. He revealed this on...
Damn, are you that big of a bastard? What the hell?
He said he detailed a pitch where he would... The match would go exactly as it did, except he would have turned heel and gotten laid out by Sting at the end. Flair believes the crowd would have loved it, and he thinks it would have given him a direction to go in as a heel in AEW after Revolution, which, as we know, Ric Flair is no longer in AEW.
Here's what I'll say. Wouldn't have hated that. Actually kind of expected it to happen, to be honest with you. I don't know about you. I did expect it to happen at some point.
No, hearing this now, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that makes sense.
It felt like that was being set up, but then they just cut Ric Flair off of TV. Like, they stopped using him completely in the entire storyline. So it was kind of like in the back of my head that they probably weren't going to do it, but I was still thinking, you know what? That's probably why they're doing that, so I don't think about it, right? They never pulled the trigger. Had they done that, would I have wanted Ric Flair to stick around as a heel manager? Only if Andrade was going to stay. And you're like, why do you have to put him with Andrade just because he's married to his daughter? It's like, well, for one, they're fucking related. But two, you know, like, I mean, not, you know, blood, but like, they're fucking married, related. You never married. He married his daughter. But even if you don't want to do that, right? Like, even if you don't like that for that reason, Andrade had no direction at the time. So it would have given him something to do. And I'm thinking this is what Ric Flair was thinking. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe because Andrade was already 1 foot out the door, they just decided it wasn't worth it because they weren't going to put him with someone else. Because who else would you put him with? I mean, really? You'd put him with Hangman? You'd put him with
I don't know. I mean, it felt like it would have been Andrade.
But Jack Perry?
We know how this did.
Jack Perry could actually work because he's a rich fucking, you know, son of an actor. So.
Yeah. It could have worked.
It could have worked. But at the same time, I don't. That part I wouldn't have been as excited about. Would have been cautiously optimistic to see where it went, but wouldn't have been excited about it. But I would have been okay with them using him. So maybe if that was the deal, it was going to lead to a run if he did do something, then maybe it's best we didn't get it.
And then kind of our last little bit of news here. There was the hologram was shown on AEW Collision. It was another vignette, and we know now who the wrestler is. So Tony Khan mentioned this week, it's not like some big splash free agency signing. So I think he was really trying to clear the air that it wasn't Ricochet. And back in February, AEW had signed Aramis. I've heard it pronounced the multiple names. So they signed him. He's a 25-year-old wrestler. I've only seen him wrestle in PWG. But he's been wrestling for 14 years already at 25 years old. And it sounds like he's debuting under the name Hologram this upcoming week on Collision. So another kind of luchador added to the mix. And we've talked about so many times on our show about how AEW is really bringing Lucha Libre and putting it on a scale that, I mean, we've seen.
I will say, though, we've also complained about how luchadors refuse to push a luchador beyond, like, the mid-card, though, which I will never understand.
Yeah, it's you know, it's waiting to see who that next luchador is going to be a world champion. And when Wagner, El Hijo del Wagner Jr. won it in NOAH last year, I remember that was a big deal. Because it's someone outside of Mexico winning, you know, the big dog title. Which it hasn't happened in a little bit of time. So, but I think with AEW,
I don't see Rey Fénix winning the world title anytime soon. You know who I could see, though? And this is just because of so much Grady as a singles. I could see Penta doing it, but I don't think it's happening anytime soon.
I could see Penta. I could see Roosh.
Roosh's world champion would be so fun, but it'd be so short-lived. But it'd be awesome, you know?
Maybe Hologram could be, for all we know. So, you know, this is another AAA signing in the past year that we've covered. So I'm always down for learning more about cool wrestlers. So
Preston Vance is a luchador at this point.
Exactly. That being said, it's your turn.
He has that collection of masks. He has to count.
Yeah.
You think he has that just like strung up in his room somewhere in like his house? I would hope so.
Probably. He asked you, right?
It's the long wall with his championship. Oh, wait.
I'm sorry. Before we jump into Ring of Honor, we got our poll results. So we've already talked about our poll for this week, which if you're on Twitter or on Spotify, you can vote on that right now. Twitter is at Eat Sleep Elite. It's going to be the top thing there right now. I pretty much guarantee you that. It's kind of our weekly thing we've been doing. So our poll last week, are you concerned about the recent AEW themes? You and I, we both aligned on this. We were kind of saying, yes, I think their past three themes of Chris Statlander, Trent Beretta, Adam Page, I think they've all been not that special. I don't think any of them have been that good.
Well, they can just redo Trent Beretta's when he comes back. So
yeah. So this has been, I think, the most 50-50 poll we've ever done. and that it was a 55-45 vote, and nope, they've been good, is the winner. So a lot of you guys are liking those themes, and you know what? Fuck yeah. I'm glad you're liking it.
You know what? I'll say that none of them are as bad as they ever got in WWE. I was listening to some of the WWE themes on 2K22, dude. Tony Storm's theme back in like 2021? What the fuck? Most of these women's themes sucked dick.
It wasn't great. And even Def Rebel now is. I just think there's been a downtick in quality. And I think, look, it can turn around tomorrow. Maybe Hologram's going to have the best theme.
But AEW's track record, I mean, look at Billy Starks, Action Andretti, fucking, I mean.
And we're getting Holograms this week, so, you know, we'll see where it's at.
I expect a rebound there, because we've had so many in a row that are just, like, mediocre would be the way I would describe them. They're not bad. They're just mediocre. Like, spectacular. I don't want to jump out of my seat. I should be feeling like, holy fuck, Hangman Page is coming. And right now, I'm just like, oh, Hangman.
Yeah. It doesn't give me the same vibes as old team now.
No.
So, take us through Ring of Honor this week.
A little bit of Ring of
Honor. 71? No.
Something like I stopped caring about 20 episodes ago.
Episode 72.
I'll let you know when we get to episode 100, because hopefully, if they're worth their salt, Caprice will have complained that they didn't do enough for episode 52, and they'll do something bigger for episode 104 or something. But you know, the 2-year mark, we better have a goddamn. We had a title match last time. We better have a fucking pay per view quality show next time. That's all I was asking for. We had pre-match, or I guess I should say pre-show rambles and matches being talked about by Rick Bone and Caprice. Robin Renegade took on Taya Valkyrie and Marina Shafir. I do like throwing Robin in with like two experienced and proven stars, but the match had zero energy and went nowhere, and I believe Taya Valkyrie won? I think that sounds right. Let me check that, actually. Yep. Okay, no, I had it right. Okay. Yeah, if I don't know a result immediately, it's because I didn't care. All right, I'm just keeping it a buck, you know? Let's see. The Kingdom said in a backstage promo that was pretty good. Matt Taven was still, like, going nuts here. It's still fun stuff. And they said they want the day off for Death Before Dishonor. They don't want to wrestle that night. It's a bad night for them. And then in the same promo, turned themselves back around and actually wanted something on the show. They didn't want to wrestle, but they want a Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship celebration. So, Charlie, apparently, the story they're going with right now is there's nobody to face them, so they're just not. Okay, then.
Can we get Adam in here, please?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. We got time. Well, not much time. We got a couple weeks, so.
Oh, wow, it is storming like hell by me. So if we abruptly, the podcast ends, guys, just a fair warning from here on out.
It should still keep recording on my end, I think.
Hopefully.
If it doesn't, but then
just throwing that out there,
then you might hear a splice come in here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Kingdom are not wrestling on the pay per view. Apparently,
it's ridiculous.
I guess. I mean, they don't wrestle on TV much, so that's not that surprising. But I can't really say that they were on like last week. But still, yeah, whatever. Atlantis Jr. took on Serpentico. We got a little recap of his win over Kyle Fletcher and the tease of the rematch. So it's good to see Atlantis on TV, or I guess I should say on streaming for Ring of Honor, because they gave him some solid music. And I actually thought, Charlie, when this guy walked out with that championship around his waist, it looked good on him. It actually fit him very well. And I don't know much about the guy, but other than what we saw against Jericho, right? You know what? This could be a Ring of Honor guy if they can work it out with CMLL, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying like permanently, but just like to do some stuff with Kyle for a bit, and maybe if they want to use him in the future. I mean, we got AAA guys that come in every couple months to do a couple matches of Ring of Honor, you know what I mean? So We could see it. Adam Cole and Evil Uno's podcast got a little launch video here. Lead Arcade. Only ever listen to that podcast after you get done listening to this one. That's the rule. All right.
Yeah, motherfuckers.
Sky Blue, who we haven't actually seen in a little bit, I thought. Am I tweaking? I feel like it's been a minute. Can you cage match that for me? What was the last time we saw Sky Blue wrestle?
Thing about this was her, this was kind of a rebranding week for her.
Okay, so it had been a little bit since we'd seen her.
Yep.
I think the last time we saw her was during the stuff with, I mean, we've seen her on a few matches here and there, but I think like really saw her was the last time we saw
the match
Julia, with Mercedes. Right? With Mercedes. Oh, that's right. She did have a match. You know what? But she's been kind of on the back burner since the end of the Julia stuff, really, ultimately. You know what I mean? So do you think this means they're kind of pulling back from that a little bit, maybe? Like maybe Julia will not be allied with her when she comes back, possibly?
I got a feeling Julia's not coming back anytime soon.
That's possible. But I mean, yeah. You know,
Look at how it's radio silent still with Jamie Hayter, and it's been 17 months.
Yeah, so.
Which has to suck if you're her.
Oh, yeah, 100%, because she's fucking the best. I mean, if Mariah May hadn't come along, she'd still be the best wrestler in ring in the company. You know what I mean? Like, well, sorry, women's wrestler. Not that there's a difference, but, like, she'd be, like, a top 10 wrestler, period, in AEW. You know what I mean? Like, she still is, but she's just not able to show it right now. Scott picked up the one with the code blue here. She did take on Lainey Luck, who, side note, was originally in the Ring of Honor women's like tournament that crowned the first women's champion. So she was an OG women's wrestler in Ring of Honor. So it was one they wanted to bring back in on like a semi-permanent basis. That there's history there. You can draw on that, even if it's not much. You know what I mean? We get more MXM collection stuff. They said ROH, I think if I wrote it down correctly, Charlie, it's going to stand for Radiant Ozempic Hotties. Is that what they said?
That is correct.
Isn't Ozempic mean? Isn't that like not a good thing? Like,
so it's a fucking drug that people are using for weight loss now.
Yeah, it's like if you have an Ozempic body, it's not a good look because they know you can tell. It's like having HGH bod. It's not good. Like,
and what's happening is you're getting all these celebs taking it because they're dropping fucking 60 pounds in a couple months. And the problem when losing weight that fast, it looks unnatural.
Yeah, you look like a corpse because you have no skin on your bones. Like,
yeah, that's why
I looked like that 2 months ago. You know, like.
You'll want to pace that shit out, and it's just, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know. I mean, we know how much tea fucking that, what's-his-name did for fucking Wolverine, so back in the, you know what I'm talking about? You ever hear about that? How much fucking Toretta Ball they had him on for fucking to look like Wolverine in the dozens?
Yeah.
I mean, how that guy's heart didn't fucking explode, I don't know. I guess Hugh Jackman is just like a different type built human. I mean, you do know a little bit about medical science. I mean, there are people that highly respond to steroids and stuff like that without having to use a ton, right?
Well, yeah, and all these wrestlers now, they're taking SARMs. It's not even a real steroid. It's
what I mean is just like, you know, like it's like there, but there's always going to be weird ways that the Hollywood bod gets there, you know? I don't even want to know remotely what fucking the actor Ewan Mitchell had to do to look like he did at the beginning of this season. Don't even want to know. I don't. Especially with how that guy looks in interviews. Scares me a little bit, you know? Like, because he seems like he takes it very seriously, you know? And he might actually just not eat for a couple weeks to look like that, you know? Like,
he's on that Finn Balor diet of they don't even sniff carbs.
Has to suck for him. He seems like he enjoys it, though. I guess if you do that, you have to find
used to it. Yeah. It's one of those things. If you get used to it,
he's got the motivation of that fucking wife of his. Holy shit. Anyway, fucking little Latina hottie. Anyway, good stuff. I'm really excited for them. And I love that they threw in here, too. Fuck it. I'm convinced they saw our fucking review because they straight up said in this fucking promo, Charlie, some people think that MXM going to Ring of Honor is a bit of a stretch or something like that. And I was like, you fucking bastards. If you know about me, I want an interview and it's immediately with Mansoor and I want to just be me one-on-one with him just making dick jokes the whole time.
God, imagine if their first match we are able to
How is they just let him keep that name, by the way?
Probably didn't trademark it, I'm guessing.
That's a weird name, though, like you'd think, because it's, you know, it's uniquely associated with him, and I don't think I'd want him to be called something different, you know? But it's just interesting, because I do like that they're calling him Mason, instead of, like, they're keeping the Mace, sort of, you know what I mean? Like, I like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's cool. I don't know. And they could still call him Mace if they wanted to, like, if they just wanted to, like, hey, Mace, you know? Like, yeah, that's not my name, son of a bitch, I'll kill you!
Dijak and get another team in the
down. Do we have any idea when Dijak's going to be showing up? Because we know he's basically signed at this point, right? Like,
well, I don't know if he is.
Yeah, I know he's probably going to show up in TNA, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he's basically
been to AEW on the invite of Tony Khan, but they haven't said anything.
I would think.
I mean, he was at Forbidden Door.
He was extremely unhappy in the Fed, was he not?
Well, he was happy. He just the writing was on the wall.
Wasn't getting used. I mean, if Triple H ain't using you.
They drafted him, and he disappeared for 2 months, and he knew his contract was up.
Don't blame him for that one. All right, let's continue on. I'm fucking waffling here. All right, Billy Stark. Yeah. Still got Mackenzie Morgan. Yeah. Billy's really good as a heel, and I think she's doing really well against... Oh, I was saying she does really well as both a heel and a face, and I think that bodes really well for her career going forward. So, shout out, Billy. Nyx took on Diamante. I want to say I remember standing out against Layla. I don't remember if it was good in a bad way, but they brought her back, so
it might just be that they're in the same town, but I don't know. I also like that Diamante is treated like the way I wrote it in my notes is treated like she's like a super vet who just owns the streets. So like you throw her out there, you know, she's going to do something good. And if you want to throw her against somebody, you can, but you can just have a decent match. And I guess I didn't really need to stop waffling. I was pretty close to the end. Dalton and Roddy had a little video package for their title match. Well, I guess it wasn't a title match, a match for a shot at the Ring of Honor world title. Basically, to decide who's going to take it off of Mark Briscoe, basically. I hate to say that, Charlie, but it's true. It's damn true. And I was rooting for Dalton, personally. No offense, Roddy, but I really wanted Dalton to be world champion again. And Charlie, I'm going to say something that's going to really upset you, and it's going to be true. Dalton Castle is going to go to the WWE.
He'd be a fucking star, probably.
They keep not using him.
Title in 6 weeks.
They convinced him when he wasn't really even sure he was going to sign with Ring of Honor again when Tony Khan took over that it was the right move. He talked about this recently. You know what I mean?
And let's point this out.
It's going to start adding up. It's going to do the same thing with Takeshita. I don't think Takeshita's going to go to WWE. I don't think WWE would do shit with Takeshita either. He's going to go to Ring of, or sorry, he's going to go to New Japan, you know? And both of those guys will be gone, and we'll be like, damn, what do we do with Ring of Honor now? Because now we don't even have a guy that we don't like to throw in there like Takeshita, you know? Like,
here's what we have right now for Ring of Honor. This is the best thing it has going for it. You ready? At this esports stadium, they're going to be taping Ring of Honor similar to how they did at the beginning. Hopefully that means we can get, you know, a month or two of really good concrete storylines that help the fucking brand. This is going to be dedicated Ring of Honor crowds, right? That's the main thing here. So hopefully it's a good sign.
Yeah. And in the main event, we have the Infantry and Lee Johnson take on the Dark Order. I still like that trio of the Infantry and Lee Johnson. They just have really good chemistry together. Carly has really good timing. Sean is actually getting, it's like Loki, a pretty, really solidly good athlete. And I think Lee is getting started with what he can do in his career. And I thought this was a pretty solid meeting again. And we got a nice little win for Lee with the frog splash. So again, I hope this sets up for him going on another singles run. Maybe this time for the world title. Maybe he, what if he faced Roddy at the next pay-per-view?
Roddy.
I'd be in. But yeah, so let's go to Rampage. Or sorry, to Dynamite.
Yeah, Dynamite. We've already covered the beginning and end, but we have some in between here. And we have the opening promo here. So AEW opens up with an MJF video package.
Of the century. Which I think is
really cool. So good. And Will Ospreay makes his way to the ring, cutting a live promo. It's more along the lines of him just calling out MJF on his actions.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do promos, guys. Shut the fuck up, yeah. Will. You fucking knew, you bastard.
He knew. This is a pretty solid promo, and he called on MJF to the ring. His music hits. Nigel tells us, "What an idiot, MJF isn't there tonight." By the way, I will save that. We don't need to talk about that. We see MJF on the big screen. He's sipping wine. He said, "People don't allow the privilege of him showing up tonight." He brought up the top guys who have fallen beneath his feet. Ospreay's the flavor of the month. Well, he's the flavor of the millennium. And yeah, they're setting up a match for next week.
This is not on a pay-per-view, Charlie. What the So he will phase into the pay-per-view there, Chiefy?
I have no idea, but I was actually in shambles. I got so excited.
Nah, you don't understand, Charlie. When Wardlow reforms what the fuck was that group called? The Wardlow and everyone was in with MJF? And I forgot, he's in a different faction. He can't do that anymore.
The Pinnacle.
No. The Pinnacle. There was another group that he was also a part of that was like right after that he ended up betraying instantly. And that's what led to Wardlow versus MJF. Can't remember what it was called. No, sorry, Big Bill, because he replaced him with Big Bill, I think. No cap, that little gimmick faction he had right after he fought Wardlow, though? It was like with Stokely.
Was Wardlow in that?
No, but it was right after he fought Wardlow. Like, I mixed them up in my head, but I think what he did, Wardlow was in the Pinnacle, right? And then the Pinnacle broke up, Dax and them went their own way, and they sided with Wardlow. And then, you know, but then they did the thing right after, and Big Bill was in it. And I thought they were going to set up for a Big Bill versus Wardlow match eventually, but that never happened, you know what I mean? It doesn't really matter. MJF is MJF. He's still awesome, you know? And Will, like I said, I don't know why he thought he wasn't going to be good at promos. Maybe he was just nervous, but like, or maybe he just said that to set the expectations low. Maybe he's actually a fucking genius and I just don't realize that he's been playing us all the whole time. He's actually the carniest motherfucker of all. And he's like, actually, guys, I'm pretty bad at promos. So that when you watch his promos, you're like, holy shit, this guy is fucking pretty good, you know? Like,
that faction you're thinking of was called The Firm.
Wow. What a gimmick.
We had the Danielson Page match. Strickland returned the Dynamite, looking bad as a motherfucker. He's calling out Danielson as he's in the ring with him, and Young Bucks tried to bribe him a few weeks ago. Pretty much it ends with him saying he's Team AEW, and he challenged Okada. And they fucking show he's facing Okada next week. Okay, if you guys were wondering, this makes me think two things.
3 weeks in a row of just insane Dynamites? We're just doing that, all right?
Either A, next week they're really struggling to sell tickets. They said we're throwing the fucking balls at the wall. B, it could be a mixture of both. We're making Dynamite 251 to remember.
Or C, just all think about it like above. This, Charlie. You have those two matches next Wednesday, then Thursday, COD Champ starts.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez. So then we had a music video from the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass, which, my God. Jericho defeats Samoa Joe in his Stampede.
What did you actually think of the new Acclaimed song?
I don't even have an opinion on it. I got nothing. It was there.
These are our tag team number one contenders right now, by the way.
Correct. So, yeah. They need to pick it up, and we need to get this feud going.
They need to pick it Jericho, up and throw it off a cliff and replace the contenders.
Jericho and Samoa Joe had a pretty decent little match here, and it ended with Jericho putting him on a forklift.
See, I'm glad that I don't have the poll still, because this would be a poll if it wasn't. Since this is not a poll, I'm just going to ask the question to you. Is Anthony Bowens being held back by Max?
As of right now, yeah, because I think we all want to see an Anthony Bowens single run, right? But they've definitely elevated each other's careers in the long run.
I don't think Bowens gets that opportunity, unfortunately, and this is just the reality of the world. I don't think he gets that opportunity as a single star, unless he came in as a big, like, unless he came in, like, on a run or came in and had a run. I don't think he gets that opportunity to have that run without having won the tag team titles and built themselves up naturally. Because I will say, we give a lot of shit to the Acclaimed, but I will give them their flowers. They were the first tag team to not be based on how good they are in the ring. Purely on their gimmick alone, they got to the top. And yeah, no one else has done that in AEW so far besides MJF. It put them in a elite category.
Yeah. And this was writing Samoa Joe off TV. He's going to film season 2 of his show on Peacock. What's it called? Twisted
Metal. Did you ever check that out, by the way?
I never did, but I think
you know what? Let's do that. Like, fuck it. We won't have to review it for our pod or anything, but we could like mention it on one of these shows, like at some point. Because I'm curious.
I do want
to
check that out.
I at least want to see what he's like in it. You know what I mean? Because I bet he fucking
apparently he's really good. Like even Anthony
Sweet Tooth is a funny character, so I would imagine he does a really good job with that. Because Joe can be funny. You know what I mean? He can do that serious but funny thing. And I think I saw like a 2 seconds of a trailer for it. Maybe they showed it on AW at some point or something. But I saw an image of him in the mask, and I was like, that looks pretty metal, so I bet that he probably sounds pretty cool, you know? But I don't know. And I imagine Joe's a good actor. I can't imagine that he got put in something just because...
I mean, I remember seeing an interview with Anthony Mackie really talking him up about how good he was.
Oh, is Mackie in that?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. I have to show, because Mackie on TV is pretty good, it seems like. You know what I mean? So, hell yeah. Shout out Mackie. Like Captain America. Well, spoilers.
Yeah. A fun little four-way match for a future AEW International title match. This was a party match, for sure. Everyone got their share of offense. Pac earns the future title shot, and I'm guessing the goal may be Pac versus Okada, which I think could be a big money match at the pay-per-view. So, I'm sorry, that's not Okada's title. Who's the international champion?
Whoever beat Roderick. It is Will Ospreay. Oh my God, that's why we're tweaking. Jesus Christ. Yep, Will Ospreay. It does feel a little out of place for him to have that championship right now. No offense, but I would have...
Yeah, and he was just in the world title scene, so it just kind of felt like...
It feels off, because they did the whole, we have to have him beat me, because everyone thinks I'm just being a placeholder, which is fair, you know?
So, Pac takes the microphone and said it's safe to say some things haven't been going well for him lately. Since returning, he's made bold promises, but suffered many humiliating failures. It's all in season, and the bastard won't be denied his Wembley moment. Let this victory be a line in the sand. The bastard will be back.
I'm hoping that we still sneak him in and Claudio onto Wembley, because I feel like if they just pulled the trigger on that feud, there's something there, dude.
Yeah, maybe get Will's title off of him. I don't know. Maybe do a multi-man match for Will's title. You know, there's options. Renee's backstage to Daniel Bryan. Jesus. Bryan Danielson, when Hangman Page storms past her. She scolds him for not showing her respect. He knocks in the Elite's dressing room. Okada answers, asks if he can help him. The Bucks walk out and ask what they can do for him. Paige simply says, he'll do it, and he storms off. They seem very pleased by this. This is their fifth man at Blood and Guts. Mercedes Moné's double championship toast. This is a really fun little thing. And she had a fucking brutal line. She said, if you get in the ring with me, I'm going to leave you with more than some herniated discs and a stroke. I'm going to leave you for dead, bitch. And the way she delivered it, it made me laugh. It was pretty good. She pours herself a shot for pretty much claiming that she was the foundation of AEW, which is the easiest thing to do a heel in AEW. Easy money. Money. And
Monet's
furious. There's a really funny she was brilliant in this segment. A really funny little clip of her when the music hits. She like starts yelling
at Sasha Banks is like the hot girl at school that would make fun of you and you just like you couldn't do anything about it because everyone was gonna back her. You know what I mean? Like and you just like let it go because like you can't punch her. I mean, if you're a female you could, you know what I mean? But like even if you're a female, you probably shouldn't punch her because you might go to jail. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like
yeah. And we were wondering last week, is Britt going to get physical? She did. So she good did. To see. Yep. She hit the ring. Monet bailed to the crowd. And another all-in match being set up. And these women's all-in matches are really, really getting good.
And this is one I could see them. If they wanted to get Mercedes into the world title scene, like ASAP, this is a really easy avenue to get there. Because Britt is established. She could run with this title for months. Arguably, the TBS title, until Mercedes, hasn't really had, like... It was very, very well protected under Julia, but it didn't really get used as much as I feel like it could have been as it was under Jade, right? Obviously, it was being used differently with Jade, but Jade was on almost every other week, it felt like, you know what I mean? Because she was that big of a star. And I think Mercedes has been that as well, and she's elevated the title in her own way. But I think Mercedes can do more for this division without having to have that on her. And I think Britt, with that title, can kind of establish a tone similar to how we basically had a mid-card tone set by Orange Cassidy for like a year, you know, like more or less, like,
yeah.
So if you can set the tempo for the division with Britt and have people like Mercedes and Toni Storm and potentially Jamie Hayter, but at least for now, Mariah May and Saraya at the top, you know, hell, you could even run Britt versus Saraya for this title. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And that would still work. Hell, you know, there's a lot of options. So, and I actually think Britt being back, we've talked about this. I don't know if we actually directly stated it, Charlie, but I feel like you probably were thinking the same thing as me as she was getting further and further gone for further and longer. And more stars started stepping up and establishing themselves. We were like, where's Britt going to fit in this? Because she was the top and there was nobody else before. You know what I mean? Where does she fit into this pond that's now full of fish that have had some time to grow and might actually take up a little bit more space than they did before now? You know, like.
Yeah, the TBS title.
So what do you do with that, you know? And it feels like they found a way to not have to answer that question and not have to. And I don't think it buries Mercedes. And you're like, well, she just won the championships, but she's not losing the other title. You know what I mean? I don't think anyway. And you could run it back anyway. Honestly, dude, like, we got to stop doing fucking 300-day title reigns. You know what I mean? We got to have somebody shockingly lose it when they're not expected to at some point. You know what I mean? Like, realistically, otherwise it's going to feel like very predictable. And then sometimes it does feel very predictable. And we used to say a lot that that's always a good thing, because if we're predicting this in AEW, generally they're doing the right thing. But
or so it feels like the right thing.
Right. But there's never really a right answer in wrestling. I mean, no. The Acclaimed should have been champions about a week or two before they were, but they didn't think that nobody in the back fucking keyed into the fact that the entire crowd was behind these guys. And you can't pivot mid-match. I bet you they were sitting in the back during that fucking pay-per-view match like, fuck, guys, we fucked up. We can't change the gimmick mid-match because they'll know, you know? We will absolutely make it obvious, you know? Because there's probably no natural way to do that in a match. If a referee just tells you, hey, we're switching the finish. And that has to, I mean, you have to think that would piss the dudes off in the ring too, you know? Like, we have this whole plan and now we have to change it because they're talented enough they could get it done, but I would imagine that would upset some people, especially if you were meant to retain and now you're losing, or vice versa, you were meant to lose but now you're, you know what I mean? Like, anyway, you know, but yeah.
We get a Darby Allin return pretty much announcing he's going to be on Team AEW for the guest. he issued Jack Perry a challenge for next week, so.
That match should be ridiculous.
Then we had the main event, which we've already talked about, so. AEW Rampage. We opened up where the
Rampage, baby!
Defeated Tony Nese and Ari Daivari. Pretty decent looking match. Josh Woods got involved on the sideline. And yeah, just nice seeing the House of Black pick up a victory.
I wrote something in my notes for this one.
Let's hear it.
The House of Black arrived to fight premier athletes who are decimated by the Dark Lords of the Black Throne. Their lick spittle was rendered in two by the cleave of a bastard sword, wielded by a killer by the name of Vengeance shall be done upon the betrayers.
I like it. Roddy defeated Ben Bishop just chopped the shit out of this young buck. Deonna Purrazzo vignette aired. She drank some wine, talked some trash. Ray Phoenix defeated AR Fox and Helico and Commander in a four-way match. And this was not my favorite four-way match I've ever seen. Duke, there was a spot in this match where everyone was kind of standing in the ring, waiting for each other to hit their spots. And normally stuff like that doesn't bother me. But when it was this obvious, it kind of sucked me out of the match a little bit.
Was there not also a moment where they were all standing in corners, like doing the four corner spot, and they all kind of just looked lost? Like, where do we go from here?
It felt like...
And I don't think they were, because I wouldn't know what a wrestler looks like lost or unlost. Like, but, you know, like,
this is not the prettiest match. And Thunder Rosa defeated Rachel Ellering, who she was, again, it sounds like she's on the AEW ROH tier deal. Most importantly, after the match, Purrazzo attacked both of them. She put Rosa down with a pump kick. And then a pretty fun main event here where Shane Taylor, Lee Moriarty, and Anthony Ogogo defeated Top Flight. And yeah, just a kind of a fun main event match that if we didn't get those other just brilliant matches, this probably would have been my number three on the week. So I really enjoyed the main event. And yeah, that's it for Rampage. This was a taped Rampage from like 2 weeks ago. So let's jump into our taped episode of Collision where we actually had a banger of an opener.
We Tommy Billington, the Dynamite Kid, took on the Alpha, Konosuke Takeshita. They're clearly invested in this kid. And while I respect that, we got to push Takeshita like ASAP. Like, we got to get this guy going, man. We're going to lose him if we don't. And I know we probably signed like a multi-year deal, but that was a couple of years ago now, I feel like. So who knows how much time is left on that. Even if there is a ton left, like, you know, if the first half of that time we'd spent just not using him and only putting him in random, really solid matches that we could be like, oh my God, look at the run of matches he's been on. And that's great. But, you know, I think wrestlers everywhere at the end of the day want to be a part of really big stories. You know, they don't want to just be known as like, it's really cool to be like one of the best wrestlers in the world, right? But I feel like the reason why Will and Brian have the reputations that they do is because they do it and they tell stories while they're doing it. We really haven't gotten that with Takeshita here, you know? I guarantee if you go back to his stuff from DDT, he was telling stories there. I would almost be willing to bet. The story they were telling when we first got him, it seemed to be that he was this up-and-coming, like, prodigy. He was the ace of DDT, and that story is a story in and of itself. Just becoming the ace in a company in Japan is a story, you know what I mean? It's just told a little bit differently than maybe some of the stories over here are probably told, you know? I mean, anyone that watches New Japan will tell you they do stuff differently. And I would imagine DDT is an even different flavor of further of ice cream, you know? So, but, you know, it's sad to me and I'll keep bitching about it until they do. But he's so fucking good, man. Like, he's so fucking good. Why are we not doing this, you know? But Billington has eons of potential. I really enjoyed the sequence of reversals of tombstones. That was pretty sick. And they actually let the kid hit it, you know what I mean? So shout out the kid.
It looked really small compared to Takeshita. But it didn't take away from in the ring. He was able to get up there and hit him with his suplexes and hit him with his big moves. But I think this, again, is another exclamation of Takeshita's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's fucking huge.
Oh, yeah.
I think in the G1, a lot of people are going to be surprised at how big this guy is.
Yeah. Don Callis was on commentary for this and offered Tommy Billington a contract with the Don Callis family afterward, who denied it. Bitch, and
this means AEW is interested in him.
I would think that means he's probably under contract in some way, even if it's just that tiered shit, you know, because they brought him back a couple of times.
Overseas. Just let him
do let him cook.
Yeah, give him a year run in All Japan or New Japan or you name it, Noah, Dragon Gate, I don't care.
Yeah. Kyle Fletcher and Takeshita attack after the bell, and Tommy Billington then gets saved by who we mentioned earlier being back. Thank God. Thank God it was only a short time, you know? We need them desperately for the tag division. Unfortunately, they couldn't be there to be able to face the Bucks at the pay-per-view. It is what it is. We'll run that back, I'm sure, at WrestleDream. Or maybe All In. I mean, All Out, I should say. Probably All Out, right? They'll run it there.
Probably.
I mean, assuming they don't do something fucking crazy, like put it on, like, Acclaimed. Holy... Can you... Dude. Could there be a worse thing to happen at Wembley, honestly? Could there be a worse thing to happen at Wembley? Like...
That would be a very, very big misfire.
Maybe the biggest misfire in AEW's history. It might be as big of a misfire as not putting it on them the first time, actually, you know? But either way. So, yeah. We had a recap of Mariah May's betrayal of Toni Storm. Juicy stuff there. Speaking of juicy stuff, Juice and the Guns took on three jobbers in paradise. Yeah, it happened. And then immediately afterward, we got the segment of the century, Charlie. Probably the greatest segment in AEW's history. The one that I think will be remembered for years to come as not only changing the face of the Trios division, but setting it into overdrive, really. Because as we know, the Trios division is clearly not in a good state right now, which isn't even cap. But, like, you know, I'm obviously capping a little bit when I say that, because the Bang Bang Gang come out have been, like, not defending their titles. They haven't even had Jay White with them because of him not being available right now. And, you know, Christopher Daniels, so far, nothing that he's been asked to do as GM has really, like, made me go, God damn it. But he stripped the Bang Bang Gang of the Trios Championships because they kept trying to gimmick in fucking Juice as a third of the Trios Champions, even though he wasn't. And Christopher Daniels is just sick of their bullshit and strips them of the titles, Charlie. What the absolute shit is this?
So this is AEW's way of saying...
This is the team that we, by the way, 4 months said that they needed to put these Trios titles on so they could actually do something with them.
And they've finally been making the Trios division feel relevant again. We have multiple teams gunning for those titles. AEW is basically saying, we're not doing the free bird rule. Well, if that's the fucking case, maybe we shouldn't have had Samoa Joe defend the ROH tag titles. Maybe we shouldn't have done this. Maybe we, like, just don't get it. You can make an exception for this. The Freebird rule works well in wrestling. People like it. So you're telling me the Blackpool Combat Club, it never would have, we never would have
on the basically, it makes it so that, like, if you're going to be in the Trios division, you might as well not even have a 4-person, 5-person faction, because the other two people might as well just be tag team wrestlers at that point. You know what I mean? Because, like, or just singles.
This is a,
like,
fucking, this is such a misfire. This is such a fucking misfire.
They did it in the tape and show. Think about that, too. So people have known about this, and they just didn't talk about it because they were like, fuck this.
No one cared because I didn't even get it spoiled. I had no idea. I had no idea. Yeah. Yeah, I not happy about this. But, yeah, let's move on.
This is copper level booking.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, I mean, look, I love Tony Khan. I won't pretend like the man knows everything about wrestling. He knows a lot. Probably knows a lot more than me. Definitely could beat me in a wrestling trivia contest. But, you know, he's not perfect. But the scapegoat, Jack Perry, wants to give an opportunity similar to what he was given when the TNT champion, I believe it was Cody Rhodes at the time, correct? No, it wasn't Cody. Who was it? Who was the first TNT champion? Was it Cody?
Yeah, it would have been Cody.
Either way, whoever the champion was at the time gave him an opportunity when he first got to the company. So he wants to do that for somebody else. Did we get an answer on who this is going to be or no?
Darby Allin.
Ah, Darby. That's right. Oh, that's kind of a fucking... whatever. I mean, I guess he's still giving an opportunity, but that's a bit... it doesn't really fit the fucking vibe of what he was going for here. I guess that's what happens when you tape it and then you show the other thing first.
Yep.
Oops. Why did they decide to do that, actually, by the way? That was kind of stupid. Did somebody in the truck just not know? Eh. Anyway. House of Black were backstage and say they're building the foundation of Wembley. Literally, that's literally what they said. So, I guess they're going to have a match there? I mean, I don't know who you put them against, but I'm down. I mean, they're European, so... I mean, sorry, one of them is European, so I guess that kind of fits. I mean, it's the closest he's going to get to that. I mean, they're not going to do a pay-per-view in Amsterdam, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
They could do one in Germany, though. Do you think AEW would ever do that? They used to do all those... was it WXW was in Germany before? Or something W something in Germany? I want to say...
Yeah.
Anyway, there was a German promotion that, like, Brian Danielson and I think even Ospreay and others, some of the others wrestled at for a long time. I don't think it's around anymore, but it was for years. And it was, like, the place in Europe that you could get as a regular American wrestler. And, like, they would just book everybody there because the UK shows were obviously always taking out of the big talent. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's the reasoning why, by the way. I don't know enough about UK wrestling politics to say for sure. But I'm saying, like, my assumption is a lot of the other wrestlers are being used in those bigger shows. And so the German shows would just get who they could, you know what I mean? Like a lot of places. We had the Owen Hart Cup, is that what I said? Holy shit. The Owen Hart Cup, like, sort of like, I guess, addendum here, where Jeff Jarrett was like, yeah, I'm so happy I got to be in the tournament. And then the Harts were like, yeah, it's so great. Thanks for being in the tournament. Okay, sure. Why not? I guess Jeff Jarrett's a babyface now, I guess, is what we're supposed to take from this baby. I don't know. Whatever. And we had Roderick Strong take on Dalton Castle for a shot at the Ring of Honor World Championship. Yeah, the Outrunners are still the new boys, so there's that. Look, I want to care about this match, but like, I didn't think Dalton was winning, and I was mad about that. So I kind of like didn't really care, you know? Like,
yeah,
Dalton has been in this position for like 2 years now, where he gets brought into Dynamites in title match situations like this. And even on Ring of Honor matches like this, he still loses. He's a guy who wins all the time on Ring of Honor, you know what I mean? Or at least usually does. He's a main star over there. He gets featured on TV multiple weeks in a row. Had probably the most coherent storyline that has been on all year with Johnny TV, you know what I mean? Because nothing else has really been a story, you know what I mean? That has actually paid off to anything. And that didn't really pay off particularly either, but at least it got a pay-per-view match, right? Most of the stories on Ring of Honor TV these days don't. So it got a pay-per-view match. It got further than most ever get, right? And then you put him in a Ring of Honor World title match, sorry, number one contenders match, and he loses on a random collision that was taped. So what are you supposed to take away if you're a fan of Dalton Castle from this, Charlie? Like, I don't get it. What's his new goal in Ring of Honor? He failed to get into the TV title conversation, so then he went after the world title again, bogged down in a feud with Johnny TV for months. That didn't go anywhere ultimately because he just ends up winning, you know, like, and gets his mojo back.
Man, he's got to be beyond pissed.
And this is a guy, by the way, that they convinced to sign with the company I mentioned earlier, who was unsure about whether or not he was going to be used properly if he stuck around in this new sort of who knows what Ring of Honor is now. And I bet he's looking back on that now wishing he'd gone the other way because he has been given nothing in the last 2 years. Absolutely jack shit. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Like, and they barely even use Ring of Honor, period. I don't know, man. It's really sad. I'm happy for Roddy because Roddy's probably going to win the championship. Realistically. I mean, if he doesn't, what the fuck are we doing? Mark Briscoe hasn't been on TV for like 8 weeks on Ring of Honor. He's had more Ring of Honor title defenses on AEW television in the last 2 months than he has on Ring of Honor. You think I'm capping? Go back through his matches right now. He literally has a Dynamite title defense like 3 or 4 weeks ago. He has zero on Ring of Honor in that same amount of time.
It's very, very upsetting.
Unbelievable. Nyla Rose beats the shit out of a person. It happened. They're dead. I think they're a corpse now. I don't care. SDP took on Top Flight. Good match. I like both teams. You know what I was thinking watching this, Charlie? This is the only thing I really wrote down for this match, other than it was good. I think the winner of this storyline between those two might get an opportunity, maybe at the tag team titles or Ring of Honor tag team titles, something, you know? That could be interesting. But, you know, that's just my thought. Like, it's weird. Random feuds like this in AEW tend to go that way. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it'll lead to another opportunity. There is that bit of cohesiveness. It's not so much like rankings, but like when I get a big win in a story we've been in for a little bit, it's what happened for Swerve, basically. You know, he beats Hangman twice. He basically essentially becomes a world number one contender. You know what I mean? Like, so beating former champions helps. Neither of these guys are, so I guess. I wonder if Shane Taylor, did he ever win the Ring of Honor tag titles? Probably, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Definitely the trio titles.
Yeah. So, you know, he's maybe they could get some a shot at those titles. But there's options here is what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Sky Blue took on Harley Cameron. Again, good stuff. A lot of opportunities have been thrown around this week, you know? You love to see that. Harley Cameron, again, I think is probably like one of the more underrated women. Just doesn't really get used, but she's pretty solid. She can do most of the offense and the gimmicky stuff that other people do. And, you know, she's fucking really funny on the mic because she sounds totally like crazy and it's hilarious. You know what I mean? We got a video package for Joe versus Jericho, which must be the match. I mean, that must be what they're going for because they just threw it as Joe versus Jericho here. So it didn't even really imply that there was going to be other people involved. So I guess that has been the long game of this the whole time, has been setting up for Chris Jericho versus Samoa Joe. Okay, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Sky Blue cut a promo, called out Hikaru Shida, basically saying like, you know, people, I'm one way. I'm going to show them I'm another by beating a former champion, the greatest women's champion in the history of the company. And Charlie, I think she beats Shida. She might be in line for a title shot because Shida's pretty hard to beat, you know, especially if you're like absolutely somebody like Sky
Holy
Blue.
Shida.
That'd be a very big win for her. I kind of hope they do that. They definitely do the match, but whether they do the win, don't know. The Conglomeration took on the Kingdom. I do think Orange and Kyle work well as a team. We had Roderick on the comm here. Cassidy was almost kind of like, I did actually kind of dig this match a little bit. This is one thing I wrote about it. So there was like all these really, so you have the Kingdom and they do their stuff. Matt Taven's kind of like the energy of that team. You know what I mean? He brings like all the offense and sort of the technical, like, you know, that sort of stuff. And then, oh my God, I can never fucking remember his name. Mike Bennett, sorry. Mike Bennett then will bring in sort of, you know, he's sort of like mellows out the match. He sort of takes it down with the holds and very much, he's very much more in the mold of like a, almost like a TNA mid-carder, if that makes sense, which he was, you know what I mean? So like that way, the way you'd think they'd wrestle, does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like that's to me, like how he wrestles.
Yep, I know exactly what you're saying. Yep.
And, Roderick Strong gave us some lore that it took him 1 week to grow the mustache after not being able to grow one his entire life at 28. Fucking shout out Roderick Strong. I buy that, by the way. He didn't look like he could grow a mustache before, and all of a sudden, boom, he had one. So, you know what? Maybe it did. Maybe tasting the mother's milk fucking gave him the fucking... Maybe he was undernourished as a child for not getting breast milk, and he finally got the mustache genes from fucking sucking on the titty. Anyway. Anyway. Sorry. If they didn't even acknowledge that again, I mean, what were they going to do? I guarantee you they got talked to after that segment last week, bro. 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. I'm the only one that survived mother's milk. God damn it, you son of a bitch. So yeah, the Kingdom pick up the win here off of involvement from Trent Beretta, and which then Orange Cassidy attempted to murder. And then this got a little overbooked at the end because Ishii laid out the Kingdom as well. Then he like wasn't really sure what to do, so he was like, hey, what's up, boys? You know, like, how's it going? We're tangentially friends because of our relations via New Japan, and I'm still here because no one booked my flight home, so I'm just chilling, you know? No, it's good stuff. Yeah, I mean, will Ishii be involved in the conglomeration?
Tom said he is here for the summer since he's not in the G1.
Ishii, okay, so maybe Ishii will join the conglomeration then. Okay, sure. Yeah. I'm down. I'm sure they could get some good matches out of some of these guys. Ishii versus Osprey. Well, that would be fucking good, obviously, because Osprey could have a good match with Paper Bag. But no, Ishii versus Roderick could be interesting. If they wanted to go that way. Yeah, we got some options here. Ishii can obviously not face Trent because Trent's sidelined for the time being, but you know. Yeah, and then we had Max versus Will Ospreay video package to close the show. Do we do that usually, a video package to close the show like that? That was interesting.
Not too often.
I think they just didn't have anything to fill the time and they were just like, yeah, just go as long as you guys want all the way up until the time. We know you guys only want enough time to get all the way to the end and then we'll just play something at the end of this time. Or it could have been one of those things where it didn't go as long as they expected it to. Like, as I said, Ishii did look a little confused, so maybe he wasn't sure how much time he had, you know what I mean? So he just did what he needed to do, like, established the friendship there, you know what I mean? And then they were like, all right, guys, just play a video package. Maybe this package was meant for next week or something, right? But they just clicked it on because they were like, we need a few minutes to fill here, you know what I mean? Or a few seconds to fill at the end. So AEW's not usually mistimed like that, but it's a taped show, so they might not have been perfect, you know what I mean? Hell, this could have been added in post, actually, now that I think about it. So... yeah, never mind. But yeah, that was wrestling this week. Just in time. I have about 10 minutes before I have to get to work, so fuck yeah.
Yeah, so that being said, guys, thanks for hanging with us. About a 90-minute show. That's kind of what I was thinking. I was like, this probably isn't a 2-hour danger. Fucking
nah.
So, nah. Not with those little... But hey, we had some fun.
We're on our pay-per-view week. Will be 2 hours, but until then, we'll be all right.
Yep. I hope you guys enjoyed hanging out with us, and... yeah, if you're interested in any of that stuff we talked about at the beginning, Eat, Sleep, Elite Fantasy. If you type it in, it'll pop up. And yeah, hope to catch you for some Acolyte tomorrow. So, or it's out right now if you're trying to find some time before Dynamite. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
We'll catch you guys next week when we're talking about AEW Dynamite Episode 250.
Where Wardlow becomes the champion.